I asked you a question. Are you a good steward of God's Word? Think of these thoughts, this idea as we go through this morning's lesson. Now, we'll look at, have I become tolerant? This word tolerant that I can find is nowhere listed in the Bible, even though the principle of the meaning of this word is. Matthew 10, verse 15 talks about that it would be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the days of in the day of judgment than it would be for those people to whom the 12 apostles were sent out, and that they had the words of Christ. And so Jesus there says it would be more tolerable. And the word there simply means to endure, or it would be more forbearing for them, in that they didn't have the message that those to whom the apostles was teaching that day. We live in a world today where tolerance is being taught. I remember years ago, Rodney King, the black guy that was beaten severely, making the statement, "Can we just all get along?" In reference to, you do things your way, I'll do things my way, and let's just get along in this world. Is that the correct attitude, if you will, to have? When you look at the political realm today, tolerance, each time you turn into a candidate, is being used of the lifestyles or the foreigners that is coming to this. The tolerance that is there being advocated, is that attitude that we should have ourselves? Again, in a scripture reading that was done, Paul simply in those verses is stating that we should be ready to defend the truth at all times, in season, out of season. Paul says, if you don't do this, the time's going to come when you will not endure truth, but your ears is going to be turned. And so the necessity of being a good steward of God's Word in all seasons, in all times, we are to teach truth. And when our ears are turned from truth, when they became calloused, if you will, then our desire to uphold what is right will no longer be there, as Paul says, that our conscience will become seared as a hot iron. Truth will no longer have an effect on us. And so there's the danger that we need to always deal with truth. Again, we live in a land that tries to show compassion. And that's undeniable, that this land is a land of compassion. It's accepted if a person does wrong, admits it, America's quickly to forgive. And we see that in the sports way, that people admit when they're wrong, that they'll forgive that person, even if the source of what caused them to do wrong is not corrected. People will still forgive that individual, but the source that caused them to do what they've done is still there. That is never correct. It's never addressed for that. Just they were caught, and I'm sorry for what I've done, blah, blah, that's it. But we're taught that we show compassion for such a one. And we need to realize the circumstances by which that person done that. And that's kind of what I taught. We need to be compassionate. We need to be tolerant because whether it's alcohol, you hear all kinds of why they're like that, of drugs, of the lifestyle that they have, it's not really their fault. There's certain circumstances that put it there. And the world wants us to accept that, but yet not to try to correct that condition. And again, I'm not saying that mercy is not to be shown. It certainly is. We are to be a merciful people. For God was merciful to us while we were sinners. But mercy is shown by correcting the source that created the problem. We sin, God showed mercy in sending His Son to correct the problem. And so mercy is not without a price that on our part or on their part. The things that cause the problem, we show mercy and we try to correct the problem. But again, this is the mode of our nation today. We hear it day in and day out. It's under the disguise of, well, we've all done something wrong. You probably heard that. Well, we all do something. We're all not perfect. And so it comes under this disguise. We see in the political realm, if a person of the Democratic Party is involved in a scandal, the opposing party is quickly to point that out. But they don't point out the problems in their party. And so, in return, when the Democrats have an opportunity to point out the problem over here, they do that. But the problem is that neither problem is fixed. We're just simply pointing out, don't say nothing to me unless I say anything to you. And so that's the problem. Again, that's what our nation is doing today. Anything on news, TV, whatever you see, that's their format of being tolerable or the accepting of that. Again, it's what we each do. So what's the big deal? Just let us live tolerable and get along with one another. Again, never the source of the problem is addressed. If it's sinful on one side, it's sinful on the other side. If I steal, you say I sin, and Keith steals, and I don't say it's sin, that it's the same for both on that. Because each does it, and so compassion for the other side does not make it right. I can have all the compassion in the world that one of my children may do something wrong, but that does not correct the problem. And I'm not to be tolerant of that in no way. Things are done today, if you will, to force one into accepting something that is wrong. If you watch the news to some degree, you see the big name entertainers now are canceling concerts in towns or states because that state or town has passed a law that they do not recognize gay marriages or transgender people. And so, in order to get you to accept this, be tolerant of this, they'll not do a show in your town or in your state. This idea of force that, you know, we need to be tolerant of these people and accept them. But why do they do this? Why do people want this idea of tolerance for all people? One reason stated in John 3 and verse 19, in this commandment, that light has come into the world, and man loved darkness rather than light because their deeds of evil. If I cannot condemn Ray for a certain thing, he cannot condemn me. The idea is that we both love darkness, and we don't want that exposed. We want people not to say that about us because their deeds are evil, and we love what we do. Whatever it may be that is sinful. We love being in that state, and we don't want nobody to criticize us for that. You don't have to agree with me, just don't say nothing to me. And so the idea that you live the way you are, I live the way I am, and we'll just get along. And again, as a good steward of God's Word, does this ever happen to you to some degree that you may overlook sin that you're tolerable of a person? Each doesn't want their deeds exposed, so in order to that, deeds are not exposed. Tolerance, the accepted way. It's man's way. It's man's wisdom. And again, it's pushed throughout this country, in every place, even in religion, in the name of religion. Denominationalism, don't say nothing about my religion. I'll not say nothing about your religion. Let's just accept one another because we're all getting to the same place. You go your way, I'll go mine, we'll end up in one place. Tolerance. Even to some degree to the Church of Christ. To be tolerant of other religions. Invite denominational preachers to preach from a pulpit that should stand for truth is now being advocated. This pulpit is no longer the truth, but it's give way to tolerance. That we do not want to say anything to hurt anyone's feelings. It's not nice to tell somebody you're going to hell because you have mercy for that person's soul. But that's exactly what God told us. You obey my word, you're going to hell. You cannot make it no more sin. It's not that you don't have mercy or love for that person. But if you don't tell them that, then your ears are no longer enduring sound doctrine. And you do not become a good steward of God's word. Tolerance. Simply means to show sympathy or indulgence for beliefs or practices. That we accept other practices, whether it be homosexuals, transgender, whatever you want to list in that, that it's to show sympathy or indulgence for the belief of others. We say nothing. Even though we might say, well, that's what you want to do. That's fine. It's the act of allowing something that we should be speaking against. And the question is asked, What do you do each day when this comes up in your life? Do you simply say nothing? If that's what you do, then you become tolerant. When you no longer open your mouth to say this is wrong, you become tolerant because, well, I was in the wrong place. If I had another place, I would have said something. Well, I'm going to handle it a different way. When you give leeway, you give time, you're not being instant in season, out of season. It's at the moment that God's word is not upheld, you become tolerant. That we ought to speak immediately. That's not right. God, that is not acceptable in God's sight. This carries with the idea of freedom without restrictions. And that's what a liberal is. You heard of the liberal media. You heard of a liberal Democrat or a liberal Republican. The idea of freedom. We have freedom, but there's no restrictions placed upon freedom. Let's just all get along. You do what you want to do. There's no barriers. There's no laws. That holds me within a certain limitation. And folks, there are laws that hold us within that. It's God's laws. Liberal means you're more open-minded. Oh, I'm not more open-minded than what Jordan is. I understand things better than he does. The open-mindedness, not bound by conventional ideas or values. The marriage, tradition, values, marriage, one man and one woman. That's no longer upheld. The value of marriage is no longer there. Do you speak against that when you have opportunity? If not, you have become tolerant to a degree. So, why does the world want this? Simply, the world loves darkness. They want to be in sin. They don't want no boundaries, no limitations. Nobody tell them they're wrong. You can't do this or that. The world loves darkness. Tolerance is the accepted way. It's the wisdom of the world we hear every day through the radio, the newspaper, people of the world, TV. We're bombarded day in and day out of this. And again, it comes so gradual, it's very seldom noticed until it's too late. That's the reason we need to be vigilant. Always watchful. Be an instant in season and out of season. Because basically what they're attacking is the very core of which we have been, that which we have been entrusted with, and that is God's Word. These liberals' ideas have even crept into the Lord's church. How? Not important to be here at every time we assemble. Kitchens and churches, taking care of schools, hospitals, all good works. But that's not God's way. That's not being a good steward when we say that's okay. And do we take the opportunity when that's done, we know it's done, of someone who is attending somewhere else, do we take the time to point that out to them? Or do we have the idea, well, y'all do that out there, we don't do it here. God's Word is no longer, you're not a good steward of God's Word. Because you've become tolerant to something that is false. And it's simply you don't show respect for God's Word. That's what it all boils down to. Authority. What does it mean to undermine authority? When you undermine God's authority and what He has told us to do, it's caused to weaken or caused to collapse by removing underlying support as by digging away or eroding the foundation. All of us are familiar with the overflow of creeks and stuff in Laurel County. Have you ever watched one that gradually may have been 5 foot wide, now maybe 10 foot wide? What's caused that? It's the constant eroding of a force that's taken away. It keeps getting wider, wider, and wider. And folks, when you remove one boundary from God's Word, you erode it that much from God's Word. And you keep going, and pretty soon God's Word is no longer there. Your conscience has become dull. Your conscience has become seared. So it's the digging away or eroding of a foundation. Christ said, Matthew 16:16, upon this rock I will build my church. We're not to do nothing as stewards to erode from that foundation that he set with his life. He's a rock. He has all authority, the right to rule through his teaching. It means to weaken or cause to collapse a foundation by not following his teachings. In 1 Corinthians 5:1-7, they were tolerant of this sin within the church until Paul pointed them out to, you need to remove this sin. No longer become tolerant of that sin, but remove that sin. They were not being good stewards of God's word. He said, don't allow this to go on. Regardless of the circumstances who are involved, you do not allow that to go on. 1 Timothy 3:15, Paul there says, but if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of God, the pillar and the ground of truth. It's the foundation of truth. Our lives are reflect that we do not do cause things to erode from that foundation, that we uphold all things. And because it is God's house, it means it's based upon truth. If that's not done here, this is not God's house. It's got to be based upon truth, regardless of the circumstances. And if not, we're no better than the denomination. That's what distinguishes Christians from non-Christians, is truth. That's what distinguishes a church that Christ died for from other denominations. We do not undermine God's authority by being tolerant. Proverbs 13:5 states, a righteous man hates lying. Why? Because God hates lying. That's why I'm to hate it. Not the person. I hate lying, that aspect of a person's life. A righteous man will do the will of God. If a man lies, he needs to be told, because God's word told him. If I'm a good steward of that word, God says he's wrong, you need to tell him. I need to tell him. I don't need to say, well, you need to turn over and read such and such. God gave you as a steward to be a spokesman for his word. Not to write down verses for someone to read, but to speak to them and tell them why it's wrong. Proverbs 6:19 states there are six things that God hates. One's a false witness who speaks lies. He has no respect for God's authority, so he seeks to undermine God's authority by digging away at the foundations. That's what Satan done to Eve. Yea, God said, you shall not die. Dig away at this foundation. Isaiah 5, if you'll turn there. Isaiah there says in 20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Those who are wise in their own eyes, they call good evil and evil good. But we're not to be like that. We're to be stewards of God. Isaiah 1:3. There's a good statement here that Isaiah makes. Says the ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master's crib. But Israel does not know. My people do not consider. In other words, it's a comparison that animals know better than what Israel knew. It's the same thing. We should know. And if we don't make the corrections, you know better, or I know better than an animal. At least they know how God designed them and what to do. How did God design us? As stewards of His Word. When I say nothing, then an animal has got, if you want to learn, better intelligence than I've got. And Christ died for naught, for my sake. Deception comes easy to those who have no knowledge. Without knowledge, we do not perceive things as God perceives them. The world we live in is a tolerant world. Therefore, we become tolerant because we no longer see sin as God sees it. We simply lessen what sin is. We put so much emphasis on homosexuality, and his is a sin. But it's no more than telling a little white lie. Both will put you in hell so quick it ain't funny. But we categorize these people. Therefore, we don't go around them. We're to show mercy. We're to correct that which is in anybody's life. We should be ashamed of ourselves when we say, this is worse than this. Sin is a transgression of a law. I don't care what sin it is. Both of them will put you in hell. Ezra 9 verse 3 about Ezra and the marriage situation in Israel says, I tore my garments and my robe, plucked out some of my hair, of my head and beard, and sat down astonished. Does sin have that effect on us today? That you would do, as Ezra said here, I tore my garments and my robe, I plucked out some of the hair of my beard and my head, and sat down astonished at that. Josiah, 2 Chronicles 34 and verse 19, when he heard from the words of the law that had been lost, when he heard the words of the law, he tore his clothes. The effect of realizing that they had not complied with God's word to cause an individual to do this. Do we conduct ourselves today that displays our Father's character? Again, why do some people become tolerant? When you turn to Acts chapter 20 and verse 30, it says there, and from among yourselves men will rise speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. People want you to follow them. Don't criticize them. Be as they are. And so they speak perverse things, misleading words that if you have no knowledge of, you can be taken away. They get to the flock. They get to God's people. This is Satan's work. That if Satan can make you or I, the church here at Mill Street, tolerate certain things, then he has us. And again, if a flock has no knowledge, they're easy to deceive. They're speaking perverse things. Those speaking perverse things seek to undermine God's authority. What about you today? What about you here who have not obeyed the gospel? Do you listen to other people's words on what you must do to be saved, in that they undermine and tear away at the very foundation that God says this is what you must do to be saved? When they teach you that baptism is not important, what does God's word say? That's the foundation. Peter says, he that believeth and is baptized. Now you can take it that Peter didn't say that, but that's the very words that he said for the remission of sins. Some people have went down to the water wet, dry and come up wet without repentance, of not knowing what baptism was for. When denominations seek to teach another plan, they're tearing away upon this rock, I will build my church, the very foundation that Christ's blood was shed. And only in baptism can that blood be reached. And if we're not telling people that, then we become tolerant to them. What about you this morning? As we stand and sing, we're subject to the gospel call, and invite you to come. Thank you.